On this commemoration of all the faithful departed, All Souls Day, I love kind of the three-part structure of our gospel reading today. We have the very brief account of Jesus' death on the cross on Good Friday. And I think it's important that as we see Jesus' death and the events that go on around it, the way that the sun is covered over and the veil of the temple is torn, and as the other gospels relate, there are earthquakes, I think we have a tendency sometimes to want to look at death and try to sanitize it a little bit, to make it a little more palatable, to make death seem not so bad. We'll often say at the death of a loved one, well, it's really not so bad. After all, they've gone to a better place. Or we'll console ourselves, rightly in some respects, with our faith that, you know, we believe in the resurrection, and therefore we shouldn't be so sad when our loved one dies. We should be happy for them that they've gone to heaven. Well, I think it's important that before we can get to the joy of resurrection and the joy of heaven and being saved, we really do have to realize that there is something we need to be saved from. Death is not our friend. Death, really, we have to see it as our enemy before we can see just why Jesus has won us a victory over death. Death is not natural. It's not a happy, pleasant thing. Even if at the end of a long life, and particularly after much suffering, we can see death as a good conclusion, an end, still, death was not part of God's plan from the beginning. It's what St. Paul tells us in our second reading today. Death came through sin. Through the sin, through the transgression of one, death entered the world. Death came through sin and therefore is our enemy. And therefore, we see that at the death of Jesus, we see that even in the death of any Christian, there is this unnaturalness, this shaking asunder of the earth, signs in the sky and on the earth, and just as the temple veil is ripped in two, there's something very unnatural about the soul being ripped from the body in death. And it's important that we not pass over that too quickly. We have to stay a little bit in that pain and that grief of death and recognize it really is a tragic and sad event in our lives, even if a necessary one. But we know then that that's not the end of the story. It leads us to kind of the second part of our gospel today. We see that after the death of Jesus, we have Joseph of Arimathea who comes. He takes Jesus' body and lovingly wraps it in a linen cloth and lays it in a tomb and rolls the stone across the tomb. And I think this speaks very well to our tradition in our Christian faith of the care for the body, especially even after death. That although we recognize that the soul is no longer present and has gone, we have a great reverence and respect for the body. That's why one of the great traditions on All Souls Day and in the upcoming week is to go and make a visit to a cemetery. There to go and visit the graves of our loved ones, to pray there. This is what we see the women doing on the next morning. They're going to the cemetery to visit the grave of Jesus, to be there, to pray. The church even offers a plenary indulgence, forgiveness of all the punishment due to sin. We can gain that plenary indulgence on behalf of the dead during this week as we go and visit a cemetery. So I think our gospel gives us a good example of one of the things that we can do to help mourn at the death of a loved one. We can go and visit a cemetery. when someone dies, we can have that loving care of their body, as the church shows as we celebrate the funeral rites and we honor the remains of the loved one as their body stands at the foot of the altar and we incense their body draped in the white robe of their baptism. So we have a great respect for the body. But then that third and perhaps most important movement in our gospel today, these women, as they go to the cemetery, they are, of course, expecting to go, and they're bringing spices to anoint the body of Jesus. But in this new beginning of Jesus' death, a new hope dawns, because when they arrive at the tomb, they find something unexpected. Rather than the body of Jesus, they find the tomb empty. The great sign, the great symbol of Christian resurrection, the empty tomb. At first, they don't know what they found, but then these two men appear and ask them why they are seeking the living one among the dead. He is not here, but he has been raised. As we go through the natural process of grieving and mourning for our loved ones, we recognize the trauma and difficulty, the unnaturalness of death. We care for their bodies. We visit the cemeteries. But we do so with a newfound hope, knowing that even as we might visit their grave, we hear the words of the men dressed in white. They're not here. We pray that they have been raised. And through our prayers today on this commemoration of all souls, we pray that all the souls in purgatory might be released from their punishments through our prayers, through our acts of penance and intercession on their behalf. We are one with them today as we gather around God's altar. On this special day, priests are allowed to celebrate three masses. So powerful is the mass when offered for our deceased friends that on this day we can offer three masses. And we are all encouraged then to pray for the dead along with the church. So today, it is a day of mixed emotions, one in which we recognize the pain and suffering experienced in the loss of our loved ones. But just as those women have their pain and suffering transformed at the tomb of Jesus, we pray that Jesus might also help us and transform our grief into the expectation of that kingdom where Isaiah tells us every tear will be wiped away and we shall behold the God for whom we looked. May all the faithful departed now rest in that peace.